is more than able. The Bible says to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. According to his power that's living, that's working, that's operating in us. And that's why the word says you and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, which empowers us, which equips us, which enables us, which causes us to be successful. And here's the grace of God. Even sometimes when we mess up, even we miss the mark, his grace is so overflowing. Oh, he's not rewarding you because of your messed up, but it's because of his great love and his mercy. That his mercy endureth to all generations. As we continue to be in that mode of worship and receptiveness to hear what the Lord says, open your Bibles to the book of Kings, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. When you have that, say amen. Do something different. Look to your neighbor and say, you got it? We've got to be a people of faith that are going to trust God no matter what. We know that the Lord is on the side of the righteous. And he has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, never to abandon us. Even through the storm. Even through the test. Now, he never said the tests and the trials wouldn't come, because they will. The Bible said, he that will live godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to be hated. You're going to be disliked. You're going to be misunderstood by people, by the devil. It's just, we're targets. But God has promised to stand with us. Think about a man named Elijah, great man, a prophet of God, and he had to give a word to a king of northern Israel, Ahab. Ahab was a very wicked king. His wife was Jezebel, very wicked king, a very wicked wife who stood by him. Basically, she kind of ran things herself. And he displeased the Lord more than any of his predecessors of that time. He was setting up worship of Baal and idol gods, and it displeased the Lord that God had the prophet go before him and give him a word and basically tell him that it will not, there will not be dew nor rain. Now, according to their times, they believed they had a God for everything. Their God was the God of dew and rain and harvest, and it was an agricultural society. And God was showing them that he is God. And the prophet said to him, it will not rain. There will be no dew for these years except at my word. You're talking about the power of prayer. And the Bible says later that he is a man just like we are, subject, just like he, but he prayed. Your prayers matter. Look to your neighbor and say, your prayers matter. God hears your prayers, and your prayers are powerful. Don't stop praying. Look to your other neighbor and say, don't stop praying. I know sometimes it's difficult. We get distracted. There's so many things going around us and can pull our attention, and our prayer lives suffer sometimes. But you know what? We've got to be persistent in prayer. Prayer is the umbilical cord, the connection to God. Just as a baby in the mother's womb is that umbilical cord where the food and the nutrients, the oxygen, the waste, all of that is transferred through that connection. So we have to be connected to God, and we're connected through our prayer with Him, our communion with Him. And he stood before the king, and he gave him the word, and the Lord led him away to a place, a brook called Cherith, which flows from the Jordan. I'm going to begin reading at verse 8, but I'm just giving a little backdrop to give us a little contextual information. And the Lord provided for him from the brook, and he had the ravens provide meat and bread. Can you imagine that? The birds bringing you bread, meat. God has many ways to provide for his people. God has many ways to open doors for you. Amen? Amen. And it says here, so the Lord did this, and the Lord provided for him, but eventually the brook dried up. Then we pick up in verse 8, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, the prophet, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Let me break it down into our vernacular of our day. Man, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got enough. I can barely feed myself. I don't have enough for my house and for my kids. And you want, and some of us, we might say, you want me to give you my last? But here's the faith of this woman. And this is a Gentile woman on top of that. And nevertheless, listen what happened. It says, and Elisha, after she said, I only have enough for me and my son that we may eat and die. And Elisha said to her, do not fear. Look to your neighbor and said, do not fear. And Elisha said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of your flour shall not be used up, nor shall your jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain in the earth. And the Bible says, so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. Then the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of the oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord for which he spoke by Elijah. Here was a great miracle, but there's many things in here, and I'm just going to pull out a few. There are many things here. Number one, the man of God was being obedient, and he had given the word to the king as instructed. He did not back down, but he was faithful in the fact of what God told him to do, and that God would provide for him. And it had to be a test for him too. Here, you know, was a great man of God who had to rely upon a widow woman to provide for him. So not only was it a test for her, but it was also a test for him. But he believed God. And she was obedient and believed the man of God. Mm. Look to your neighbor and say, whatever God tells you to do, do it. Even though you may not under, because we can look at this and we can see from many different angles, man, you want me to give up my last? You want me to take from the mouth of my babies and give to, I know you're a preacher. I know that you say, you know, but you want me to do this? But the other thing I want to say, make sure it's God. Because you do have the enemy who will masquerade. And the Bible says even Satan will come as an angel of light. Just because somebody come to you and say, God said, amen, you better use discernment. You better have a relationship with God. But even with that, and here's the power of God. Even when there are those who may, and I'm just throwing this in, that may have ulterior motives. Even when there are those who are trying to take advantage of you for whatever reason, the faithfulness of God, even though they meant it for evil, because of your obedience and your faith and trusting God and your heart to do the right thing, God will still honor you. So you don't have to worry about fake preachers. You don't have to worry about false prophets. I mean, be discerning, be led by the Spirit. But even if, amen, understand this, that God is on the side of the righteous. Amen. And he will not allow the enemy to triumph over me. Amen. You may try to outthink me and outwit me, but you're making a mistake because you don't understand who's residing on the inside. You don't understand who it is, the Spirit of truth that's on the inside. You don't know who it is, the Spirit of the living God that's on the inside of me, who gives me wisdom, who gives me direction, who gives me discernment, who gives me eyes to see beyond my physical ability, who gives me ears to hear beyond my natural ability, who speaks to me and speaks to you. So when God has covenanted and promised to take care of his people, don't doubt. And that's why he said to her, he says, do not fear. I know you have a lot of things that can make you fearful. I know you got bills to do. Who am I speaking to this morning? I know you got car payments and mortgage payments and rent payments and your job is not giving you the money that you need. And I know you got, but do not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't allow your circumstances. Don't allow what you see in the natural to move you out of faith for God. Matter of fact, it's at those moments and it's at those times that God is waiting and he's purse and ready to move on your behalf, even though it seemed like you don't have enough. But your faith and your trust and your obedience to your God, and you say, you know what, it may look bad in the natural, but by faith I see more than enough. It may look bad in the flesh, but I know that my body's healed. I might not be feeling well, but I know that my God is a healer, that he's able to restore me, that he's able to reinvigorate me, that he's able to bring peace to my home. I know it looks crazy right now, but it just looks that way. For I am called and you are called to walk by faith and not by sight. We don't move by what we see or what we hear or what we interact with in the physical realm, but we operate in a whole different realm, a whole different stratosphere. It's a whole different understanding, and we move in the spirit, and we see in the spirit, and we speak in the spirit, and then we speak to those things, and as God did, call those things that are not as though they were, even though you're empty in your pocket, but speak the word of God. Say, God, I thank you for meeting my need. I know the barrel is low. I know I have just a little oil in my cruise. I know I just got a couple sticks to heat up the stove. But God, I thank you because you've proven yourself to be Jehovah Jireh. I thank you for you are the God that supplies my need. So I'm going to walk in faith. And I'm going to trust God. See, he was speaking with God. So it was actually God speaking through the man of God. So when God speaks, be still and know that he is God. And whatever he says to you, it shall come to pass. It may not come, as they say, when you want them. But he always shows up on time. But see, our time is different than God's time. Our time should have been at 10 o'clock. Lord, I'm at the end. Where you at? You know, but you don't understand something. Glory to God. Sometimes he even waits to after all the bad, even after Lazarus was dead. He said, Lord, don't come now. My brother's dead. It's done with. Jesus says, now it's time. See, our thinking is not God's thinking. We try to rationalize and we try to figure it out and we try to put it together. But sometimes we are so far off in the flesh. We just need to agree with his word. We just need to trust him. And as you say, Lord, it is well, then God, I believe it, even though it looks bad. You say, well, my house, my car has been repossessed. He's still coming. See, that's your test. I done lost the house. I done prayed prayers of faith. I done threw oil on the wall. I done marched around it. I done did all of that stuff. And yet my house still burned down. Lord, what happened? Look to your neighbor and said, do you believe? See, our faith is going to be put to the test. We can have church, not knocking it. We can have our clapping good times. It's great. We can have our good times. But you know what? At the end of the day, your faith will stand trial. You say that you're a man or woman of God. Your faith will stand trial. As I often say, it's easy to believe God when everything is lovely. You got the faith. You can come in, you can preach, you can prophesy, you can lay hands and spin around and all that stuff. But when the storm comes to your house, when there's an earthquake in your pocketbook, when the kids are losing their minds, when the job says, we don't think we're going to need your services anymore. When the doctor said, you got this issue, where is that man of faith? Where is that woman of faith? And I submit to you, it's in these times the real man or woman is going to show up, of God is going to show up. Amen? And it's not to put us down, but God is going to show us, amen. He already knows who we are. He already knows what we're going to respond. But, you know, it's really for our benefit. He said, I just want you to see where you at. Amen? Because we can play the role. I mean, we know how to clap on time. We know all the things to do. We got it right. We know how to do church all across the country. We know how to have service. But do we know what it means to have a relationship with the Lord? Do we know what it means really to be worshipers and not spectators? We just go, some people go where the party's at. you know, back in the day. Y'all don't have to raise your hand. But you didn't even know the person. Where's the party at? Ellie, am I telling the truth? Where's the party? Who's having the party? You don't even know who you going, whose house you going in. All you hear is the music thumping. Hey, man, you know the alcohol is flowing. You see the men and the women going in there. Say, that's where it's at. And you go right in, and they let you in. Hey, this is the party. Amen. But God is looking for men and women who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Who's going to be real? Let's get back to the text. It says, and so he said, make me first. And the woman did it. And God provided a miracle. And the Lord sustained her and her household. Amen. It said, the verse 16, the bin of the flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now, verse 17 says, now what happened, somebody say it happens. Look to another neighbor and say stuff happens. Now it happened. What happened? Let's read on. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. He died. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Why have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms, amen, and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on this woman, on this widow, which whom I have lodged by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is the truth. Amen. You think about what this woman, and she was just real. Amen. She was a mother who cared for a son, and she was heartbroken. She didn't understand how, even with the prophet staying with me, and I've seen the miracles, how does bad things happen to good people? I did everything that I was supposed to be doing. I was obedient to the man of God. I did what, and I saw God. How is it that the man of God could be in the proximity, living in the same house, and God, you allow this to happen in my life? And nobody raised a hand, amen, but at some point in your life, and if it hasn't happened, stick around, you may wonder, and you'll say, Lord, what did I do to deserve this? I mean, let's just be real. Sometimes you'll question, man, did I miss it? Did I make a left turn when I should have made a right? Sometimes we begin to question, amen? Now, I'm talking to real Christians here. I'm not talking to folk that ain't ever been through nothing, that ain't ever, you know, admit that they've ever had a situation. But I'm talking to real people, real saints who deal with real life issues. And I don't care who you are, amen. The Bible said, man that is born of woman has few days, and out of the few days that you have, they're full of trouble, amen. There are going to be tests. But nevertheless, this woman, she was hurting. And yet, her son, whom she loved, the very son that she fed through this miracle, why would God bless him to live, to feed him through a miracle, and then take his life? But things happen for the glory of God. Things happen in our lives not to punish us, not to destroy us, but it's a setup for God to show his grace, show his power, show his mercy. Amen. And you know what? At the end of the day, you can say, no matter what, God, I'm going to trust you. It's a difference when you hear about it, but it's something when you've experienced. It's one thing about reading a book and getting a head knowledge. That's beautiful. But it's another thing when not only can you read about it, but then you can experience it and you can relate it to your life and say, not only do I know, but I've been there. That was me. So there's a whole different revelation and an understanding. There's a whole different level of through life experiences. And we have all experienced different things in life. And no matter what, through the grace of God, guess what? Look around. You're still here. In spite of everything that you're going through, think about it. If it was meant to consume you, you wouldn't be here today. But it was by the grace of God that even through your storm, even through your trial, even through your test, even through your bankruptcy, even through your foreclosure, even through your failed marriage, God is still here. And you got to be like Job, though he slay me, yet I'm still going to trust him. Though I lose everything, yet I'm still going to trust him. Though I'm in unemployment right now, I'm still going to trust him. He must just be setting something else up. I can't see what it is with my natural eyes, but by faith, I know that God is going to supply my need. I know that God is going to open the door. I know that God is going to be a blessing in my house. I can't see it with my natural eyes, but I can see it with my spiritual eyes. You got to walk around and you've got to decree and you've got to declare and you've got to speak the word of faith and you've got to say, I see it right there. Folks say, what you talking about? I said, don't worry about it. But you just got to say, I believe God. I know that what God showed me, it shall come to pass. I don't care what the banker says. I don't care what the lawyer says. I don't care what the physician said. If God said so, if God said it's coming to pass, then I'm going to rest on the word of God. And I'm going to see him show up. You're going to see him show up. Say, he's never going to get a house. Well, you don't know my God. How you get that job? You don't understand what favor is all about. How'd you get that promotion? You don't understand. I serve a God who is rich in houses and in land. He's able to expand my borders. He's able to bless me and increase me. And you can have the faith to say, even in the storm, even in the furnace, you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not compromise their faith and their belief on God. And they said to the king, we're not careful, O king, how we answer you, but our God, whom we serve. See, we have a relationship with our God. See, we've seen him. We've witnessed. We believe his word that he's going to deliver us. Now, here's the other side of that. And they can say this in faith, and it seems like a contradiction, but it's not. They said, too, even if he doesn't, he's able. In other words, we are so committed to him. We are so in tune with God, it is well with our soul. Whatever God has you to go through, whether it's through a storm or through a test or through a furnace or through an affliction or through a persecution, if God allows you to just go through, say, it is well with my soul. You know what? Guess what? Weeping may endure for a night, but we know, amen, that joy is going to come in the morning. Your night cannot last forever. Your day will break. And the S-O-N will arise in your life. He allows us to go through those valleys, through those storms, through those lonely times, sometimes, amen, we want to, but you don't, we sometimes we don't understand that God leads us. You think about Jesus. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. You mean the Spirit led Jesus to a place where trouble was? Because he knew the outcome. God has to show your enemies. Show those who've spoken against you. Many times we say, Lord, get rid of my enemy. God says, not so quickly. I want them to see me prepare a table before you. God says, I want them to see my hand upon your life. So don't pray your enemies away. Pray for them that God convert them. But at the end of the day, amen, God once is going to be magnified. I think, again, about this story here. This young lad had died for whatever reason. He had gotten very sick. Amen. And I think about us, even in our sinful condition. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses, cut off and alienated from God. The world was our mother, but it couldn't help us. Only Jesus Christ. And I found it interesting, and I thought about the correlation, amen. And you think about when Elijah, he went into the upper room. And I thought about in the book of Acts, they were in the upper room. And then that's when the church was born. When the Spirit of God came in as a rushing, mighty wind. That which had no life, that which was dead in religion, in form and fashion and godliness, yet became quickened. Just as this young lad in the upper room, Jesus stretched out his arms in our stead. He loved us so much. They said, how much did he love us? He loved us this much that he stretched out his arms and died upon that cross for my sin and for your sin. And because of Jesus, we live. This boy got up, so we get up. Through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It looked bad. It looked unrecoverable. But God loved us so much, in spite of all that we have done, in spite of all the sin, yet he still loved each and everyone, and sent forth his only begotten Son to stand in my place and yours. Will you trust God? Do you believe God in the storm, in the test, in the furnace, in the fire, at sea, when you're on the boat and the winds are blowing and the storms are raging? Will you trust God? Look to your neighbor and say, hold on. Don't give up. No matter what, stand firm in the power of his might. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a fight. We've got to pray for one another. You've got to stay in the battle. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't give one inch to the adversary. Pray ye one for another. We are our brothers and sisters' keeper. Everyone standing. No matter what, God is going to show up. He has promised to keep us. He has promised to preserve us. Whether he sends methods and ways that we don't understand it. In the prophet's case, he sent birds. God can send an angel. You thought it was a person. It could have been an angel. We don't even know until maybe we get to glory and we really see, amen, the times that God intervened in our lives. When you knew that it was the hand of God that protected you. You knew it was the grace of God. Some of us, we've fallen. You bust your head. But God is so graceful and so merciful and so forgiving that even if we should stumble, here's what the word says. God is faithful and he is just. That we can go to God and we can say, God, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Make me clean. He said, he that cometh unto me with an humble and contrite spirit, I will in no wise cast out. We serve a loving Father who demonstrates his love to us daily. And you know what? He's speaking to us, but we're so busy. We say, I can't hear God. It's not a problem with God. It's us. Steady ourselves. Incline your ear to hear what the Master is saying. Turn your heart. You know why you can't? Because your heart is so clouded with other stuff. Issues, people, circumstances. Ask God to purge you. Ask God to sensitize your spirit. Most of you know even how we have our electronics today. We have our Bluetooths and we have our electronic devices where you have to synchronize them and you have to put certain codes and keys in to make them talk to each other so that they can connect. Amen. We need to synchronize our spirits with the voice of God. When we get on the same level, same page with God, we will hear him speak to us so clearly. And primarily, he speaks to us through his word. He's not going to say anything contrary to his word. Whenever you get a word from God or you believe it's a word, amen. If it ain't in the word, it ain't God. And when God speaks, it's going to be in line with the principles of his word. You say, well, my situation ain't in the word. Well, if it violates the principles of the word of God, if it's saying you got to steal or be dishonest, it ain't God. If you got to be deceptive, if you got to be underhanded, we know that's not the word of God. That's not what he wants. It's not in line with the character of God. It's not in line with the heart of God. It's not in line with the word of God, the written word of God. So, and guess what? The Spirit bears witness. Here's the other thing. Other folk may be able to do it, and they might see anything, nothing wrong with it, but if God checks your spirit, leave it alone. Because it may be okay for them, but to as much as given, much is required. He that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, your judgment shall be much harder. So they have an excuse because they're in ignorance. They have an excuse because they have not committed and surrendered to God. But what is our excuse? That we know the word. When we know what God has said to and not to do. That's why Paul says, do we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. There's no reason. In other words, you don't understand. When you play with, you're playing with God. When you willfully sin and you want to justify your sin, couple things I want to say to you. Either you have not really been born again, or you need some serious deliverance and God is able. Because once you have had an encounter with the real thing, with the real one, the genuine, there's a lot of counterfeits in everything we go to. Amen. But those who are connoisseurs in any particular area, amen, you know the real deal. Ladies, y'all know. Y'all can look and y'all know. Amen. Certain things, you know it's a knockoff. You know there are things that give it away. Whether it's perfume, whether it's pocketbooks or shoes, dresses, whatever. You know if it's the real thing. Well, you know it's the real thing because you spent time with the real thing. You've handled the real thing. You've touched the real thing. You know what it feels like. You know what it smells like. That's why we've got to have a relationship with our God. Father, in the name of Jesus.